Hello and welcome to the CEO Blind Spot Show, where leaders lead leaders. I'm your host, Birgit Camps, and today's guest is Mary Keen Dawson, who is the founding board member of the Internet Commission, the executive chair of Machine Capital, and board member of various companies, where she shares her experience of having successfully led and sold 3 businesses. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you, Birgit. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, the person who referred us, Eldad, said that you're just legendary in the UK marketing and advertising world, and that, you know, you've been a board member with Ogilvy & Mather, but he also mentioned how you actually are in a Hall of Fame. You've been appointed to the British Interactive Media Association Hall of Fame for your outstanding contributions. You've helped big brands like IBM and Nestle and even lots of airlines deal with the marketing and technology transformational projects that are happening right now. So when I was looking at your background, I was like, wow, where do I start? And then I realized, I wonder if part of your success was your start in life, because I heard that, you know, you left home at 15, figured out how to get through college and figured out how to make it in the business world, so to speak. But why don't you tell me, why do you think you have managed to succeed?
Well, first off, I thank you very much again for inviting me. But to answer your question, I think that the number one aspect of my success and the reason why I was successful is that I was like a bulldozer. I was not going to let anybody or anything stand in my way. And I think being the eldest daughter meant that I had to, you know, keep an eye out and look out for my family, but also for my siblings. But also, I was the first one to do anything in my house, as in, you know, being a girl. And I wasn't going to let that stop me from being successful. My grandmother told me when I was very, very young that I should never be dependent on a man for money. And it's stuck in my head, and I never was, and I never have been. So I think that that freedom to be successful and to embrace being successful is a really, really important life's lesson. And I've got to say that when I think about the women I knew at uni and elsewhere that didn't feel capable of having their own independence commercially and financially, they haven't had the happy life that I have had. So I'm really grateful to my grandmother for, you know, saying I was as good as any man and I could do whatever I wanted to do. And I hope I've lived by that philosophy ever since.
Yes. Well, the interesting part is there's even a man who, well, I thought it was funny, his quote about you, Felix Velarde, who's the founder of 2Y3X and the author of Skill at Speed, said, "Mary is magic. Mary is clever, inspiring, direct, and correct." And then he says, "If I were you, I would leap over alligators at a chance to work with her." So somehow you have figured out how to work with successfully, right? With all kinds of leaders. And you've worked in big companies, small companies. And now I did notice, been quoted to say that you don't believe there's such a thing as mistakes. And whereas other people teach commercial people ABC, always be closing, you believe in ABL, always be learning. So it sounds like that's another tip as to why you've succeeded so well.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely have closed a lot of very big deals in my life. I won't pretend I haven't. And in fact, big ticket is my motto. You know, go big or go home, I think someone said to me once. And I've also lived by that philosophy too, because it's much harder to sell somebody a smaller deal because it's usually their money. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're actually talking in hundreds of millions or tens of millions of dollars, it's much more likely that that has already been agreed to be spent somewhere. And it's a question of whether they're going to spend it with you and your company and your team or with somebody else's. Mm. So, you know, it's a much more strategic, competitive situation rather than, you know, you're having to appeal purely on an emotional level of give me that money, because it's, you know, if it's a choice between whether they have a new bathroom built in their house or they decide to actually relocate the entire kind of hub of their business, as if they're an airline, from Chicago to Houston, then you know that something's going to happen. So you want to be part of the bigger deal. And that's always been my philosophy. And I'm very glad that I've had those experiences. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I was very young when I landed up running the Ford loyalty business in my own company and working directly for a gentleman called Sir Ian McAllister, who was incredible. And he took a chance on me, literally. And I knew he was doing that. And I absolutely honored his faith in me. And that's a very important quality, I think, for successful people who have made their way up the ladder. You know, if people believe in you, then don't let them down. You know,
yeah.
make sure you do everything you can to actually prove that faith in you. And I'm so glad that I had those people around me, and I've been very fortunate to work with such great, outstanding talent. And I do today with my partners and the people that I work with at Machine Capital and also at the Internet Commission. But I've also, unfortunately, like every leader, I'm pretty sure they've all had it. If they haven't, they haven't actually admitted to it.
Yeah.
I'm opening the kimono now. You know, we've all worked with or around people in our lives. If you've had any taste of success, you will also have had a taste of toxicity. And that toxicity, you have to be really mindful of, you know, in terms of not letting it infiltrate into your life and who you are, or for that matter, find yourself compromised. I mean, I didn't realize just how my success would be interpreted by some people in such a negative way. I thought everybody would be really happy that, you know, the ex-Saturday hairdresser girl from East Finchley was now the global CEO. You know?
Yes.
I thought everyone was celebrating because I was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it came as a really nasty shock that, you know, some people just hate you for being successful. They're jealous and they're envious. And, you know, it can be really, really hurtful, you know, and I think that unfortunately it puts a lot of people off, particularly I think some women, you know, who want to be friends with the people they work with and they don't want to have those difficult conversations about what we have to do in the business to, you know, make it more successful and so on and so forth, because it's just too painful and they don't want to be seen as being nasty and having to make ugly decisions. But, you know, we're now entering a new age, a new dawn with the advent of artificial intelligence. And I'm working very much in that space at the moment, along with my advisory work for CEOs and their businesses. And what I'm finding is when you use artificial intelligence to add value to your organization and you use it as a tool, it is an absolutely phenomenal experience. And, you know, I encourage everybody to look at how they can codify what they do and add value to their strategic value propositions as businesses, because there is so much opportunity there for us to have a better work-life balance, to have more successful organizations and companies, to have happier employees, and to be putting back into society and building constructive and positive energy cultures, which is what I'm all about.
Well, Mary, I just heard another reason you succeed, and it looks like you're always looking for how to use innovative tools to take companies to the next level. And in this case, AI is what you have identified and probably also why you chose to become executive chair of Machine Capital. But tell me, you're smart, you're an innovator, you're a trailblazer. How did you learn how to lead effectively? And what was the moment that you knew you had a leadership blind spot in terms of what wasn't working?
Well, I think that one of the biggest challenges when you become a leader of an organization, of a business, is that with it comes a huge amount of pressure and demand, but also comes a huge amount of privilege. And certainly in my early days of being a CEO, and I'll use my time at Sparfax, which is a company that is the world's largest in-flight entertainment business, and we sold it to WPP. And myself and my colleagues, great team of people, we took a broken thing, rebuilt it, and then, you know, sold it to WPP, which was just brilliant. But when you go into that kind of corporate world, especially when you've been an entrepreneur who's been pretty bootstrapped, suddenly you're in a world of privilege. You know, you are traveling in business class, and but you don't have any time to yourself. You know, there's a huge personal cost that you have to pay. You don't see your family. You don't, you know, spend as much time at home that, you know, as people would like. And that was certainly my experience. But of course, there was a driver to pick me up when I got into JFK and take me to my hotel. And, you know, the dinners were expense accounted and so on and so forth. But I mean, I could have been in Amsterdam, or I could have been in Rome, or I could have been in Houston, or I could have been in Hawaii. You know, but most days I didn't know it was the same hotel. It was the same food, you know. But, you know, when When 9/11 happened, you know, it was such an earth shaking. Literally, it was, I can only compare to how my grandmother described being in London during the Blitz, although, you know, the day that it happened was absolutely horrific and catastrophic for the city and for all of us who were there. But the reality of what it did to the business world was absolutely shocking, and to the airline industry in particular, because every aircraft in the world was grounded for the next 2 to 3 days. And of course, that put incredible financial strain on those, a lot of those airlines, and it put a huge strain on the business that I was running, which was Spafax, which all our clients, we had 97 of them, and they were all airlines. So we had really, really, really difficult time. And I think that was when I made a big mistake. And that was, I got very frustrated with people because I thought that they were way too interested in the detail of what was happening and of the planes flying into, you know, the World Trade Centers. And what we needed to do is we needed to find ways to help our clients and to be calm and to help calm the passengers and do all these other things that I felt were really important. And of course, I totally misunderstood the impact that it would have on individuals in our company and the psychological impact it was having on people throughout the world. So I think that was one of the most difficult lessons I ever had to learn. And it was an incredible situation that, you know, doesn't happen every time. But when COVID came and I was running a very large influence marketing business called Tsukumi, I realized the impact it was going to have on everybody and just the psychological impact and how important it was that we put in place support for our people, counseling, that, you know, people knew they could talk to one another, that we would have, you know, like, we would have family time, you know, and that we would make the room for people to be, they could be stressed, they could, and they could share it with us, and they didn't have to feel the pressure. And I think that's a massive seismic change that happened in, during my career in the many years that I've been in around in leadership. You know, we are much more concerned now about ensuring that our people's mental health is taken care of. And I think that's fundamental to being a good leader.
Wow. Well, then I bet you're naturally helping a lot of people now psychologically with the advent of AI.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I mean, I think there's been a natural and understandable kind of fear people have had. You know, they've kind of gone, oh my gosh, it's going to take my job away from me, or I'm going to be made redundant or whatever. And I get that. I really do, because I think that, you know, a lot of companies have basically are using AI to codify process. And in that process, they are losing a lot of people who would have worked in what I would describe as more administrative roles. However, AI is massively helpful in empowering you. And if you haven't got ChatGPT 3.5 on your phone, then get it and start to play with it, because it's a really, really, really helpful tool. And I actually admire all of the AI companies that have basically sought to share their products with as many people as possible, as soon as possible, because it is now part of society. It's going to be part of our culture. And the work that we're doing at Machine Capital and other companies that I am working with or are familiar with, where they're taking interoperable databases, putting them into AI platforms, and they're building new knowledge. And this new knowledge is actually what's really going to revolutionize our businesses and our societies in, I believe, a really positive way, as long as our leaders look to artificial intelligence and machine learning as a means by which we can build positive outcomes and deliver positive outcomes for society and for our customers and for consumers. And that's really fundamental to using it. If you think that you can lock it up and put it back in the box and bury it somewhere, I'm going to tell you right here, right now, that isn't going to happen.
That would be a blind spot.
That would be a very big blind spot. That would be like wearing blinkers altogether. And a blindfold.
Yes.
It's out of the bottle and it ain't back in. So go and take a play with it. I think it's really important that entrepreneurs embrace AI, because if you're using ChatGPT or DALL-E 2 or Midjourney or any of the open source AI technologies that are out there, you can improve your ideas, you can improve your strategic value proposition, and through using interoperable databases, you can actually build new knowledge and new insights, which when you pitch them to your clients and pitch them to your customers, you're going to see how amazed they are at the added value you're able to bring because you've used AI as a tool.
Fabulous. Well, I appreciate all the different perspectives you have, the experience you've shared today, including when you're leading people to pay attention to the psychological part of leadership. And that includes, of course, how to interact with AI and their fears around it. And thank you again for taking the time to come on the show and contribute to others. And I know if they want to know more about you, they can go to LinkedIn. Thank you again for being on the show.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for having me here.